Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott.
I'm Ben, and we are here with our good friend and super producer, Noel the Convoy Brown, for today's episode of Car Stuff.
The Convoy. I like it. This makes me think of the movie Convoy.
Oh,
and
man.
The song, of course.
Oh,
but,
yes. Yeah.
Can I be Rubber Duck?
Oh, yeah, of course. Great. I feel like you're naturally the Rubber Duck. Yeah.
Rubber Duck. What about you?
As long as I'm not one of the long-haired friends of Jesus to the chartreuse microbus.
Nice recall, Ben.
Or chartreuse.
Yeah, I like that. Nice.
Oh, that was one of my favorite songs.
Yeah, and the movie was kind of cool, too. I mean, looking back, I don't know if it stands the test of time or not, but we'll see. Maybe I can check it out. I think, you know, when we were doing some ads for a DVD.
Yeah.
I think we mentioned Convoy.
We did mention Convoy, I believe so.
Yeah.
Longtime listeners, you can check with us or let us know what you think about Convoy. And I may have said this on the air before, and I promise this is tangentially related to our show today, but
somehow,
hopefully, we'll find a segue, Scott. We always do. But there was this greatest hits album that C.W. McCall had. Mm-hmm. And for a while when I was a kid, It was one of the only albums I had. Now this was a cassette tape, and a lot of the younger kids don't know about that. But
cassette tape of C.W. McCall Convoy on it.
Yeah, Convoy, and then Convoy 2, where they go around the world in the Rubber Duck.
Cool.
Yeah, and there are some impressions on there of various world leaders that I totally didn't understand at the time.
It would be fun to get your hands on that again and listen to it if you could find a tape player. You got to find a tape deck somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That'd be the hard part.
I mean, you know, the rest of my family is as thrifty as I am. We probably have a car in the family that has a tape player.
You know what? I had the 45, the small vinyl version?
No way.
I did, yeah. But, you know, it's long gone. I don't know where it is. It's probably still stuck in my dad's, record collection. He has a huge vinyl record collection. He was a DJ back in college.
Yeah.
And had this massive collection of, stuff from the 60s and 70s, some really incredible albums.
Oh, wow.
Likely worth a bunch of money. I don't know how well they were stored or anything like that.
Yeah.
I would be willing to bet that they're in his garage somewhere in a box, you know, that kind of storage, if you can call it storage. Maybe in the basement at best.
Just keep an eye on those, though, because, you know, they can be they can be as lucrative as a good barn find.
Oh, that's
in
true.
In some cases.
That is true. So, okay, let's get back on topic.
Yes.
We are Car Stuff, and we're going to talk today about hotshot trucking. And that is kind of the tangential related item that we're getting at with the Convoy there. Hotshot trucking. Now, if you don't know what hotshot trucking is, it's really pretty simple to explain what it is and be very concise about it. It's not scheduled. It's smaller hauling jobs, really.
Yeah, it's like you're, if you are a hotshot trucker, you are essentially a freelance driver for the freight industry. And the freight industry is massive. And in terms of not just physical fleets, but also in terms sometimes of bureaucracy and their regularly scheduled, routes that crisscross the continent, those regularly scheduled routes don't always cut the mustard.
Exactly right. And that's the thing about this is that it's kind of like a just-in-time service or a critical freight service or, something that you have to have it across town right away. It could be across town. It could be across the state. It could be several states away. We need it in 2 days. We can't wait for that shipment that is coming in 7 days, but we'll get just enough to keep ourselves going here at this factory. So that kind of stuff happens all the time, every day. I've got a brother who flies freight. And a lot of that is sort of related to this. It seems like he's like not a hotshot trucker. He's like almost like a hotshot
pilot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because the freight service that he flies for, oftentimes he'll say that, you know, they're hauling, some type of automotive parts to, you know, whether it's, wiring harnesses or axles or whatever it happens to be. You know, two different manufacturing facilities all over the U.S., sometimes just outside the U.S., you know, down into Mexico or up into Canada. He's based out of Michigan, out of Oakland Airport. And It's a really interesting business because it seems like every time I talk to him, he's got some new story about where they were, what they're picking up, what they're bringing back. He has to do a lot of math, a lot of calculation as far as the way that you load the plane. And it's not, I mean, it's not terribly different from what happens with these truck drivers too. It's like they get a call and they say, you know, we're going to be there at your place in half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a truckload of this, but I can't take it the full way. You need to load this on your vehicle and get it down to Kentucky by noon tomorrow. That's our deadline.
Right. But the trucker, I think I see the plot twist here, right, Scott?
Yeah.
The trucker says, well, that doesn't fill up my entire cargo area.
Yeah.
So I might need to make another run of some sort if possible.
Yeah. Or, you know, he may say, well, I can do that for X number of dollars. That's my rate because it's this far away and it takes this much fuel, mm-hmm. et cetera, my time involved, all that. And they say, well, we weren't really looking for that. And he says, well, wait a minute before you go anywhere else. Cause you know, there's a very competitive world out there as far as bidders go, for hotshot trucking jobs. And there's job boards that we'll talk about later. But, bidding for this type of work is not all that uncommon. It's something that, I think it's expected when you have a load of freight that you need to get somewhere fast. You can either just say, it's so critical. It's so important that I'll just pay whatever the first person that tells me the rate is
right.
And they've got to go. Or you can say, well, maybe I can let it sit out there for a few hours and see what kind of bids I can get to come in.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's all that out of the ordinary for a trucker to say, here's my starting bid. What do you think of that? And they either may grab it or maybe they won't. And then there gets to be a point where it's not worth it for the trucker to haul that, those goods or, you know, that material
sure.
that far for that price. We're probably getting ahead of ourselves a little bit.
Yeah.
I guess in general terms, it's critical freight, not really scheduled, not really structured in any way, because it can be anything of any size, any purpose. Freight can vary so greatly. I'll tell you how great this can vary.
All right.
You could be hauling airplane parts one day, or automotive, you know, assembly parts, motorcycles. You could even be hauling one envelope across state lines. If it's necessary, they may contact a hotshot trucking company. I know there's other mail delivery type services
that
do stuff like that in a car, which is a lot more efficient. But it's not unheard of for somebody to do something completely out of the ordinary for a hotshot trucking company, because that's what they do. They field unusual requests.
Yeah, I read one. I was checking out a couple of different forums here, and I read one board that, or rather one comment on a board that I thought was pretty cool. This guy recalls that he used to be standing around the Texas Ironworks waiting for the drill part to be manufactured. And then they would manufacture the drill. He would throw it in the bed of the truck and drive straight to the oil well. No stopping.
Isn't that incredible? I've heard the oil industry is huge into hotshot trucking because of what you just said, the broken parts. They're out in an oil field. They break a bit off.
Yeah.
And they need one right away. So this guy, without them having to send somebody out to the mill to bring it back, he's closer. He just waits for it to be assembled and heads on his way, and they cut the time in half.
Yeah, and apparently they can, when the freighting companies or the carrier companies come to you, there are some rules of thumb for negotiation. And it's interesting because, you know, we hear so often that the trucking industry is becoming more and more difficult to make a living from, right? Because a few years back was the rising prices of gasoline, and it was the competition, at least from local expediters. Mm-hmm. You know, we should talk too about the difference between expediters and hotshots.
Competition's huge.
Yeah, competition is huge. This is very much an industry where you can't. What's that phrase we used in an earlier episode? Sit on your laurels.
Yes, can't do that. You got to constantly be moving. That's one thing that I came across many, many times, is that this isn't as easy as you might think. You may think like, well, I've got a truck and trailer. I can make a pile of money just running stuff across town.
And
that sounds like a pretty good way to make a living. It really does. Like you get to be out in the, you know, out driving around in the city that you live in, or in the state that you live in,
make
or in the
schedule,
in the region that you live in.
Yeah,
yeah. Right. You're your own boss. You get to decide when you work, how much you work. But the reality of it is that it's very difficult. There's usually long days. There's typically no break between when you pick up something and when you deliver something. So if it has to be out west in, you know, 3 days, you may not get any time, you know, more than just a few hours at night to sleep. I'm sure there's probably regulations in place, like how long you are allowed to sleep, or you, how long you have to sleep, rather.
Right.
I don't know if it applies to hotshot trucking, though. That's right. That's the other thing, is that there's a second set of laws for hotshot truckers versus those that hold a CDL or commercial driver's license.
Right.
But you don't know when the next job is coming or if the next job is coming. That's something else. You got to be very proactive. You got to be I don't know. I guess you got to be a go-getter. You got to really want this to work, and you got to constantly be scheduling and maintaining not only your equipment and everything that has to go along with that during the day, watching the job boards and everything else. But there's also the I guess you can call it the desk job at home that has to be done. So you may require not just yourself, but you may require some help from somebody at home. You know, whether that's an employee, whether that's a family member, somebody to kind of sort out your schedule and make sure that things are working the way they should and that you're doing the maintenance on your truck when you should. And
That's huge.
The paperwork is it can be overwhelming, but seriously, like this is a good way to make money. Mm-hmm. It's just you have to really, really want it, and you have to really know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Make some smart decisions.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because one thing that can be so tempting, I love the phrase you were using where it's tempting to think, well, I have a truck, I have a trailer, right? I will just go and become a hotshot trucker, and then the money will just rain on me. It will literally rain money.
Yeah.
But the problem is that although it is possible to do very well in this business, it is also possible to do to lose money, especially if you're not organized and if you're not making the right calculations of your time versus your expenses versus whatever your margin is. We can say that conventionally what I found most often repeated was that hotshot drivers can usually bet on a 75-25 split with the carrier company. So the freight company getting would take a 25% cut of the delivery, and that's like as a fee on their part if they handle your paperwork and set up the order.
Now see, this is important, because you said by the carrier. Now, normally these are driven by owner operators. They
right.
own and operate their own vehicle, their own rig, but even those owner operators are often leased by carriers to do this kind of work. So you still go through them. It's kind of a middleman.
Yeah.
That's necessary, because people are comfortable working with that carrier. And you are kind of the independent edge of this, or angle of this.
Mm-hmm.
And the carrier then trusts you to carry their load across town, across state lines, or wherever it happens to be. So it does get a little bit complicated in that way. And we mentioned the job resources, the job boards, things like that. Do you want to talk about that for a second? Because I want to get to like some of the pros and cons of the business. And then maybe even I've got some rough numbers of what it takes, what it costs, and some of the things that maybe people won't think about initially for setting up. It's kind of like a hotshot 101.
Yeah.
In fact, I think that's what they called it in this article. But the jobs are resources and job boards that you can go to find these things, to bid on jobs, because that's what you do. You look at a daily board, a daily posting of what's available in your area, and you find, which boards or board works best for you, and you typically use that every single day. So you've got a laptop next to you in the vehicle, and you're searching for the types of loads that you can carry based on the equipment that you have, the types of loads that you want to carry, based on, what you've found works for you and what doesn't, or problem loads, I guess. And also, I guess you're considering profit as well. Is it profitable for me to carry this thing? Is going to really be a lot of wear and tear on my equipment, or would I rather carry something that's like, maybe, I don't know, instead of carrying that load of pipe, would I want to carry hay instead? Is it more profitable? And you got a lot of different decisions to make, but you can go to places like, these are just three examples. You can go to like findfreightloads.com. You can go to uship.com, truckdriverjobs.net. There's boards like this all over the place, and that's just three. There's a lot of them. And, you can focus on your region, your state, however you want to do this. But it's pretty interesting how it all works. And I give you U-Ship as just an example. And this is from both sides. You can use this as, somebody who's wanting to ship something, or somebody who has freight experience, somebody who can carry something.
Right.
So if you go to U-Ship.com as a customer, not as a hauler, you can get free shipping quotes from there. And I'm not selling this or anything like that.
Right.
I want to point that out. So a line from their website says that you can find, book, and ship with over, and get this, 670,000 transporters around the globe.
Wow.
So you can be connected, just this one site, this uship.com, you can connect with over 670,000 transporters. So that gives you an idea of the type of competition is out there. Now, that doesn't mean that all those haulers can carry whatever you have. I mean, that's very, it's very, right. Very specific, I guess. Once you say, I've got this type of freight and it's X feet long, X number of feet long, it weighs this much. It's this size. It's going to require a forklift to get it on and off the vehicle. You know, that type of thing. It all narrows down your search into what you need or what you want. And I guess the idea is that, you know, you can get instant pricing, you know, like an estimate on your job. But then what it does is it alerts local drivers, you know, drivers that are nearby that don't have a job yet for that day or for that afternoon or whenever it is that evening.
Or for the, even that time they're in town.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. They, when they're in town because they may be headed out. So transporters then bid on those jobs based on what you, you know, add into the system. And then you can book that job online. You can, you know, read the transporters' reviews of, you know, like how they've handled prior jobs, you know, jobs in the past of what they were like, whether they, you know, arrived, there were no problems at all, or whether they arrived late or they were early, if they were polite, if they broke whatever they were supposed to be hauling, because that happens.
They get rated.
Yeah, they get rated, and you can lock in the rate there. You know, so that you, you know, get the price that you agreed on. And, you know, the other thing is that insurance is big in this. I mean, you've got to carry a ton of insurance for this type of work.
Yeah.
Way more than you would think. I mean, we're talking like million-dollar policies.
Absolutely. And that's another thing. There are a series of steps to become a hotshot driver, which we've alluded to, but we haven't really talked in depth about it. Just some basic stuff. Of course, you have to have an IRP license, something that allows you to drive an overweight vehicle. And like you pointed out, Scott, you got to have the insurance. A lot of these companies are not going to regularly work with someone who doesn't have insurance. Because think about it. You know, you're hiring a free agent who, you know, in a lot of cases, these people work with each other regularly. Mm-hmm. But in theoretical cases, you might just be hiring like John Doe from John Doe's One Man Army Trucking, who says, yeah, I'll take your shipment of airplane parts that have to be in Bakersfield by noon tomorrow, and then disappears with them or gets in an accident, and they're destroyed.
Yeah, you're right. It's kind of akin to, seeing a contractor's license if you're going to have something done at your house. It's the exact same idea, is that you want to make sure that this person is licensed, insured, all that.
Mm-hmm.
And these are Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, requirements. It's not just that, you know, that we're saying, it's probably something that you want to check out, you know, you want to have done. It's so that you're not handing over some very valuable equipment to somebody who, again, could just leave town and you'll never see them again. And you don't really have any true records of who that person was.
Right. Yeah.
This is the paperwork to back it up. So it's really important to establish your business to, you know, carry the proper insurance, you know, that's critical, and you gain the trust in the freight community that you work within. It's really, really important, because that's all this networking pays off.
Yeah, and that is a rule for freelancing in general. Scott, did you ever do any freelance stuff?
Oh, I have. Yes, I've done freelance work for a long time prior to this.
Yeah.
I was a freelance for probably a dozen years, maybe something
wow.
like that. Everything I did up in Michigan with the Big Three was freelance work. It was contract work.
Oh, okay.
So it was either, you know, you had a solid contract for a year, 2 years, or 3 years, or whatever it was,
sure.
or you were just kind of. Yeah, we need you today. Can you come in to work? And yeah, do it. So, and then, you know, some of the more regular programs, of course, you can count on that work to come back monthly, but it was still contract work. And there's a bit of a, there's a nice freedom that comes along with that, but
right.
there's also a bit of worry that goes along with that as well. I mean, you don't want to make the, when you're trying to buy a house or something like that,
right.
you know, getting the paperwork through is a lot more difficult. And just your level of confidence that job is going to keep coming back month after month, that's something that you have to think about as well. And, you know, with hotshot trucking, it's similar in that, you know, your daily work depends on how hard you work behind the scenes to get things lined up for the next day and or the next week or month or year even. I don't know if you can line it up for a year with hotshot trucking. In fact, I don't even think you can line it for a month with hotshot trucking. It's more like you better hope the job is coming back tomorrow.
Right, because ideally a lot of larger businesses, in my understanding, would need a hotshot trucking thing rather than planning on using one regularly.
Yeah,
right?
And you don't use it all the time. That's the point. It's like right. it's just strictly for occasional use. It's not like they may come back to you. They may say like, well, we've got this guy that we use when this happens.
Yeah.
But it's not something you can count on as a hotshot trucker. It's not something you can schedule. You can't say like, well, at the end of the month, they always use me because they would recognize by that time they need a shipping service by the end of the month. They would get a regular
right.
service to do that. And that's just not the way it works. This is more like, I guess you could call it emergency, but it's not always emergency. It's mm-hmm. sometimes it's just, you know, we just need to get this there in 3 days.
It's convenience.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a stopgap, might mm-hmm. be a better word too. Okay, so we've kind of established what hotshot trucking is. Do you want to go into what it takes to become a hotshot trucker and pros and cons?
Yeah, I think I'd like to do that. But you know what? First, I think we should take a moment to get a word from one of our sponsors.
Good idea.
All right, and we're back, and we were talking about, I think, just kind of like what it takes to get this business going, right?
Because, right.
And you know what? You just mentioned in that ad that that you were a freelancer as well.
Yep.
And you probably know some of the stresses that come along with this. You said it was writing, uh-huh. but it's still the same idea that, you know, you're waiting for these jobs to come in, and you're not sure if they're going to come in.
Mm-hmm.
There's always that hesitation when you're going to make a big purchase. There's always that that kind of uneasiness, I guess, about, well, you're not really on a company, big company's health plan or anything.
Oh, yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
And the benefits that go along with something like that. And that's one of the things that hotshot truckers have to deal with mm-hmm. is that they're probably going from, you know, either working in a job like you and I work right now and
sure,
said,
sure.
I'd love to be out on the road hauling something.
Wait, you're full time? I'm freelance.
All right.
I just get a call. I've just been getting a call every week.
Every Tuesday and Thursday, you get a call to come in and record the podcast.
Yeah. Well, I'm kidding, but you make a great point because when we say like one man army, one person band kind of thing, that is something it's difficult to overemphasize because if you are a hotshot trucker, you're also your own accountant. You're also your own advertisement. You're every other role that will be filled by someone else in a different trucking company.
Yeah. And it's a tiny bit misleading to say that, you know, you can do this all on your own because you really do need some backup, some help from other people.
Right.
And you'll find this smaller network of people that will help you achieve your goals, and that's possible, entirely possible. So don't,
sure.
We're not want to dash anybody's
dreams. Yeah, we don't want to dissuade you.
No,
you can
not
do
at
this.
All. You can do this. You really can, but you have to know kind of where the starting point is, and you have to understand what you would like to be or what you would be comfortable hauling. And that's critical.
And luckily for any of our prospective or would-be hotshot truckers in the audience today, we've got a little bit of insider info for you.
I guess maybe it's just a little bit of,
101.
Yeah, I suppose like a starter course in what it would take to get something like this going. Because a lot of people probably have that question. You know, we said, you know, the guy with the truck and trailer, you know, in his driveway.
Sure.
Is thinking, oh man, do I really need to go and sit in my cubicle all day long? Or should I just, you know, couldn't I just haul something across, you know, the state?
Yeah.
And be home by dinner time every day. That would be fantastic
mm-hmm.
if I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a little bit more complicated than that if you really want to make a go of this. And I can give you some outline, like an outline of what you basically need, but there's a lot more to consider than this. This comes from a place called hotshottransportation.com. So I thought it was a pretty good source to go
right,
to.
Right. Yeah. I visited
a place that you can actually find, you know, you can go to that site and you can see what they've got there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can book and do all kinds of stuff there. But they said, you know, there's a lot of hurdles in getting this thing going as far as upfront costs and, you know, like trucks and trailers and insurance and all that stuff.
Yeah.
These are just the big, these are the kind of the big considerations that you need to make before you really jump into this with both feet. All right. So just as a general outline, you'll need a truck, of course.
Oh.
If you don't have one, expect to spend, you know, I'm ballpark, and this varies so greatly. I hate to put a price on any of this, but let's say $10,000 or more. That's what they say.
Right.
You need at minimum a one-ton truck or larger. It has to be a dually, so mm-hmm. no single rear wheel vehicles
yeah.
at all. 9,000-pound rear axle minimum, probably a diesel, probably equipped to carry a gooseneck trailer or a fifth wheel hitch in the bed. A long bed, so, you know, the trailer won't hit the cab. That's pretty important, I would guess. You don't want a short bed. Yeah, exactly right. You'll also need a trailer, and we're talking about not just a small trailer that you can buy, you know, on the side of the road somewhere, probably.
Yeah, a tractor trailer.
This is likely a, well, not a tractor trailer. This is more like a big flatbed, maybe. But I mean a big flatbed, because some of these that I've seen on these sites that they say, minimum, a lot of guys are saying, oh, you, at minimum, you want a 40-foot flatbed trailer. Mm-hmm. 40 feet.
That's a lot.
That is huge. Now others are saying, I can get by with my 20-foot flatbed trailer. Well, but that, you want a big trailer.
Well, that's the thing though, because the problem there or the consideration there, you already know where we're going with this, guys. It restricts the amount of work. You can do a 20-foot job with a 40-foot trailer, but you can't, reverse that, you know?
And that's only one type of trailer.
Right.
I mean, what if you want to haul cars? What if that's your gig? Is that you want to haul cars, but you want to haul, maybe more than just one car. You want to haul like three or four cars.
Right. We saw some of those pictures.
Yeah, sure. And that's a separate thing altogether. It's like, you know, the wedge style of car hauler. You've probably seen those before.
Yeah.
They haul three on them. They're really packed tight. It depends mm-hmm. on what kind of cars you're hauling as well.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on what you want to haul, but expect to spend several thousand dollars on that too. I mean, between $6,000 and $10,000 on a trailer is not out of the ordinary.
Wow. Yeah. I have a question, a little bit of a sidebar here, Scott.
Okay.
Have you heard of any hotshot trucking for livestock?
No, not for livestock.
I haven't either. And I wanted to throw this question to listeners because I'm pretty sure we've got some current or former hotshot truckers in our audience. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask you guys, if you have ever, as we say in Tennessee, if you've ever heard tell of a hotshot livestock thing, like getting some cattle to maybe, or a horse maybe to a competition or something like that.
Yeah, I wonder. Because it seems like if you're on a farm, and I remember I kind of semi grew up on a farm. I don't know, summers anyways. It seems like you have the equipment or if you have cows, you typically have the trailer to haul cows in.
Like you already have it.
Yeah, you have horse trailers if you got horses. But I wonder though if there's a need to get, cattle across town where there've been deals made. I don't know. I just don't know how to look at it because usually ranches have that type of equipment on hand.
Right. That's part of the deal. And, usually have the capacity and the planning to avoid needing that. It's just, it's interesting to me. And I wonder if it ever happened because when we saw how many things can be cargo for hotshot trucking.
Oh yeah.
Then that was one of my first questions. That's one of the only things I didn't hear about yet.
It seems unlimited, doesn't it? I mean, you could haul metal stock. You could haul mm-hmm. hay.
Yeah.
You could haul motorcycles. You could haul signs. You could haul, I think I remember a television show about hotshot trucking recently that I've seen. And this is where I kind of was introduced to the whole idea of it. And they were hauling, of course, for TV. They're going to make this pretty sensational, right?
Right. With all the dum dum.
Yeah, exactly right. And, there's four or five people and they're kind of working against each other really in the same market.
Yeah.
And they're trying to outbid each other and get jobs. And it was entertaining. But the types of things they were hauling was like, well, we need to get this missile from NASA up to, the Aeronautical Museum in Ohio. So we need to haul that today. What's your rate on that? And it was just always something really unique and interesting and kind of fun and really strange. It was always strange. It wasn't just your ordinary stuff. I don't know what ordinary would be for a hotshot trucker. It wasn't that. It was always something really unusual.
Well, I got us off track though. I was just interested. I wanted to throw that out to our listeners. So we left off with
trailers. Yeah, and you got to remember also more axles, higher tolls. That's
Absolutely.
Another important thing.
Yeah, that's
to remember.
A good point.
And you
got to
make sure that they're heavy duty. Most use gooseneck trailers,
mm-hmm.
Which are very, very heavy duty trailers. Mm-hmm. But you got to have the right truck to haul that and the right setup.
Sure do.
All right, so all that is important. But other equipment, think about this. You need a laptop computer for online access, which you're likely going to want to get a new one. I mean, something that you can put in the truck with you and it'll be
make a dedicated work.
Yeah, with
computer.
Internet access, and you're going to have, Wi-Fi on tap, I guess, in the vehicle as you're driving. So you can expect, let's say that's $50 a month, according to this article. That cuts into your profit every time you're hauling.
Oh, every drive.
You're also going to need, they say, a 20-ton jack. I mean, I guess if you get a flat tire on the road,
something
you got to think about. If you get a flat tire on your trailer, when you've got a load on the trailer, it's a lot more difficult to get that tire changed.
Especially because there's so much less of a safety net for a hotshot trucker because, the thing about being a full-time company man is that there is a little bit more of a safety net. Just a little bit. I'm not saying anybody is in any way getting kid gloves, but what I am saying is that if you're a hotshot trucker, you have to be prepared, just like a Boy Scout, because if your tire blows out, if there's an accident that delays you, all of that is on you, yes. Not on anyone else.
Yeah, it's 100% your responsibility, yeah. Because you're in charge of that load between when you pick it up and when you drop it off, and whatever yeah. happens in between, again, like you said, that's on you.
It's your career hinges on your on your reputation.
Yeah, and again, not trying to talk anybody out of it. It's just you got to remember that's a reality. You know, that's just the way it is. You got to step mm-hmm. up. Other things like cargo straps, chains, tie downs, pads,
sure.
all that stuff. It's required. It's important. It's also expensive.
Yeah.
To keep that stuff,
mm-hmm.
and that stuff wears out too. So when it's lost or stolen or you know mm-hmm. just simply worn out, you got to replace it. Okay, here's what we were talking about before: administrative. You're going to have a business checking account. You're going to have a tax ID number, which that's not all that difficult. Customer contacts, receipts, things like that. You're all going to have to keep all that because of you know if you're going to be claiming this on taxes in a different way, which you will be because you're your own business,
entity,
your own,
right?
Yeah, you're a contractor. So you're going to have to keep all that stuff. So you're going to have good bookkeeping skills, a business license, and mm-hmm. you know, possibly a service permit from City Hall. Also, what else are you going to have? Maybe somebody to do your taxes because they're going to be a little bit more tricky than they were last year when you were a company man.
Yeah.
You can't fill out that easy form anymore, likely, when you're a contractor. Maybe you can. I don't know.
Can we spend a second on that? Because that's something that's huge, and people don't know this. And, man, Uncle Sam came down on me like a bag of bricks my first year freelancing.
Are you talking about estimated taxes?
Oh, buddy. Oh,
is that
yeah.
what you're talking
oh,
about?
Brother. Yes,
that
sir.
Is okay, we can spend just a minute on this because I know the pain of that, too.
Yeah.
I was actually pretty good about it every year. The first year was tough. It was growing pains.
Yeah, the first year was tough for me, and I was surprised. But
here's the deal. You get a nice big fat check. And then you got to remember, I have to put 30% of this away or even more sometimes.
Yeah, 35%. I was going to say minimum 30%.
It's more like 35% you have to put away on your own because they give you the full amount
mm-hmm.
without taxes or anything taken out. So it's a nice big fat check.
Yeah.
Then you have to separate that amount just because you're disciplined, put it into a savings account or wherever you put it.
Yeah.
And save it and then pay your taxes quarterly. And I know this isn't anything new to people who do this.
Sure.
And it's something that you just become accustomed to after you've been a contractor.
It becomes after, if you get through that first year, then you learn the ropes.
You absolutely do. But, you know, when you get to the end of that first year, like you said, and you feel a sting of, you know, them saying, oh, well, actually you still owe us this much money.
Bag of bricks.
Yes, it is. Even if you send in a little bit along, you know, throughout the year and you thought you were doing
right.
pretty good. You don't realize how quickly that piles up.
I essentially did the version of, so you guys have a layaway plan or what's going on? Cause I figure by next year I can have this paid off.
Oh no. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they do have plans in place.
Right. I know it worked out, but that's just something that you need to be aware of.
It really
when you
does.
Become involved with this and you can still make money though. You can still make a lot of money.
Of course. It just takes a lot of discipline to be able to do something like that. It really does. So it's a different world when you're a contractor. Advertising exposure. This is one that most people don't think about.
Right.
You have to have a dedicated business phone number, which
mm-hmm.
is really important.
Mm-hmm.
You also have to have, you probably should have a website, and that, you know, can vary in price.
Sure.
An account, you know, accounts with places like UShip and, or the other ones I mentioned, findfreightloads.com mm-hmm. and truckdriverjobs.net and all those. There's a membership fee. For each one of those. And
that
I don't know what
sense.
That is. You know, it's probably a monthly thing, but you have to keep those up. So all of those memberships.
Mm-hmm.
There's a place called, centraldispatch.com. I think that one is like $35 a month, according to this.
That's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, but then you don't want to be just part of just one. You want to
be
part
of,
you want to get four or five to choose from. Here's business cards. You know, that's relatively low cost now. It seems like that's going way down. Things like, you don't think about this, like door magnets and signage for your vehicles and the trailers mm-hmm. and the equipment that you're hauling. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that you're using to haul, I should say. It all comes back to, these little, details, I guess, that you just don't initially think of when you launch this business. You think you just need a truck and a trailer and some free time to haul the stuff.
Right.
Maybe a cell phone. It requires more than that when you really dig deep. And there's also, Federal Motors, Carrier Safety Administration requirements. That's FMCSA mm-hmm. requirements. You have to have you know, specific forms that you fill out. And these forms may cost, you know, $300 to fill them out online.
Yeah.
For that. It's just a business, part of business cost.
And that's federal level. Keep in mind that other states will have different regulations, for weight, different regulations for some licensing.
Yeah.
And that, those violations can quickly become very expensive.
Yeah. So you have to have scheduled safety inspections. And right. I want to say something about that too, because you may also be required to just pulled over on the side of the road. And how many times have you seen this? I don't know if it's like the, what they call it, a Waymaster or so, if they still do that or not, but, a police officer will have a hotshot trucker pulled over on the side of the road, and they're doing a roadside safety inspection, just a spur of the moment thing that can happen. And they will give you a little certificate that says you passed it or whatever. But like I was watching a video of a guy kind of showing a typical day in a hotshot trucker's life, and he said, "This is the third time this month I've been pulled over." And I didn't think that was allowed. I thought once you pass it for the month, you pass it. But he said, "This is my third stop."
I thought it was like a discretion thing. I thought that at least law enforcement officers could pull over at their discretion to do it.
I think so, but I thought you have to display something that says that you've passed their safety standards or their safety inspections, which include things like you have to have the right safety triangles in your truck. You have to have a fire extinguisher.
You have to have flares too.
Yeah, flares, of course. You have to have an hours of service logbook available. There's a lot of stuff that you have to have on hand, and you got to know all this stuff before you jump into this. Okay, what about the DMV requirements? We're getting to the end here.
Yeah.
If you do have a CDL, which you don't need for most of this,
right?
Unless you exceed certain limits, that can cost. You know, it's an extra fee on top of a regular license fee. You're also going to need medical exam forms and cards completed by a medical doctor, and that can cost sometimes $150, $200, something like that. Also, vehicle registration for hire tags, and I think in North Carolina, at least, the limit is 26,000 pounds or less is what you're allowed to carry, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know if I have that exactly right, but I think your whole rig has to be under 26,000 pounds.
Ouch, okay.
I think that's it. I'm going to have to look at the exact details on it, but if it's over that by even a pound, I think you have to have a CDL. So, you pay for a certain tag that, well, I mean, license plate, I guess,
right.
Tag that, that signifies that you're below that level. And that's $400 for that in North Carolina. Other states may vary, but
sure.
That lets the officer know that you're considering yourself a hotshot trucker. Man, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, like this article says, all that I've just read, tip of the iceberg. There's more to it. And again, by no means I want to discourage anybody, because I think this kind of lifestyle, this life, could be a lot of fun. It could be interesting. You meet a lot of people, a lot of characters.
You have adventures for sure.
Oh, definitely. But you've got to really be, you got to be on top of things. You got to be on top of the rules and regulations, your equipment as far as maintenance goes, because maintenance intervals come up way faster than you think when you're hauling stuff every single day and under what they consider a, what do they call it? There's heavy duty use and there's normal use.
It's
always heavy duty use.
We're talking thousands of miles.
Yeah, you're wearing out your equipment all the time. I mean, pros and cons. I mean, it's 50-50.
I like that because it'd be cool for us to go through some of the pros and cons, and maybe, you know, it might feel, listeners, that we have dwelt on some of the cons, and those hotshot truckers here in the audience with us today. I'm sure you're all very familiar with these cons, and there are probably a few that we have missed. But we'd like to look at some of the pros for this as well.
Yeah, I see this as just opening the door for somebody that maybe hasn't even heard of this to investigate and say, maybe that's for me. I mean, it sounds like something I'd be interested in doing. I just didn't know that you could do that. You could quit your day job.
Yeah.
And go do this, or maybe do it simultaneously for a short amount of time. If you can wing that. Yeah, that's right. That's tough. All right. So just a few, and this was from a site called overdriveonline.com. So it has a trucking community. I figured it was a pretty good place to go to. And just briefly, there's only three or four points here, but it's pros, cons for several things. The first pro that they list is that, it's relatively low cost of entry. So, you know, all those prices that I told you, that's not nearly as much as if you're going to go out and buy your own big rig. I mean, if you're going to buy a semi-truck or semi-tractor and trailer, it's going to cost you a pile of money. Those things are in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And there's a lot more that goes along with that as far as licensing requirements and state requirements and all that. Mm-hmm. But the cons on that side, as far as equipment goes, something we just mentioned that, you know, lots of miles are covered or traveled, and they're all heavy-duty use, so there's a lot of wear and tear on your equipment. You'll feel like every day you're destroying your vehicle and your
right.
and your trailer. That's what it's going to feel like. But then you got to realize you're making money if you're doing the right thing with it, investing it back in the company, back in the trailer, back in the mm-hmm. equipment. It'll all even out. It'll
it's
all
just
work out.
You're running so hard, which is why you get paid those premium rates.
Yes, exactly right. Now, the next one is that with a lot of operations, expedited loads means little or no waiting at the shippers and receivers, which is important.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be waiting around a long time where you have to drive into town and wait 2 days for the load to be loaded on, et cetera. This is a quicker turnaround. And on the con side of that one is that the costs and hassles of having your own authority likely mean that you have fewer lease agreements, or probably no lease agreements, with some of these companies. You don't have that routine
yeah.
pickup and delivery that you would, or the cushion, mm-hmm. I guess, as we said before,
yeah.
With having a carrier that regularly schedules you.
Yeah, there's not you're doing the acrobatics without the safety net beneath you.
Yes, that's a good way to say it. The next one is, well, income, and this is important. It can be as good or better than Class 8 work.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that, you know, there's good income, of course, I mean, but it requires also a lot of hard work. It's what we talked about before. You got to be driven. You got to have the desire to get up early in the morning and stay work late at night and, mm-hmm. and really make the most out of your day. That's really, really important for something like this. And on the con side of that is that local and regional demand can be cyclical or unpredictable and unstable. And you, I think, said that, Ben,
yeah.
is that sometimes, you know, there's too much work. Sometimes there's no work. It's just completely dried up. And then you've got that moment where you think, do I need to move to a second location or somewhere
right.
else where there might be routinely more work available for me? Or do I just sit here and wait it out because I know it'll come back in the spring? It's always
it's
very
tough,
difficult.
Yeah.
Really difficult. Okay, the last one here on this list, the pros, mm-hmm. cons. The pro is that most work is local and regional, so a lot of times you'll be at home by the evening. You know, you might be home every night, which is a huge benefit. Over-the-road truckers don't have that comfort, typically.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them. I mean, I've seen some that advertise that you are, if you have a local route.
Right, right, if depending on the set lane, right?
Yeah, so you're going to have a little bit more time at home than you would if you were maybe working for one of the bigger carriers. However, the con side of this is that when you are at home, you're likely going to be doing a lot of that administrative work that we talked about before.
Yeah.
You're going to be trying to use that time in order to build jobs for the next day, the next 2 days maybe, if you mm-hmm. can, if you're fortunate enough.
Depending on how far out you can
yeah,
go.
Yeah, or you might be, using that time to maintain your vehicles. You're going to be using that,
sure.
that home time to do stuff that you wouldn't have prior to that if you were just using the company truck.
Just because you're not on the road doesn't mean you're not on the job.
That's
and,
right.
And also, but even with all this, again, people will tell you that expedited loads and hotshot freight is a choice job for a lot of truckers. You know, it goes back to the money, especially with experience, too. If you've already built up a lot of experience in a different part of the trucking industry and you want to give this a shot, a hot shot, you could say. I'm sorry.
Oh, Ben.
I know. I'm sorry, man. We almost made it to the end of the podcast without a bad joke.
Yeah, nearly.
Nearly, almost.
Yeah.
But the point is that this can be worth your time, and it is definitely worth learning more about, if only to check out some of the cool stories that you can find about it.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, you can find these online testimonials by, some truckers
yeah.
that I like reading the good. I like reading the bad, but I got to tell you, the bad is more entertaining. When you go on the forums and you read about some of the problems that they've had,
yeah.
like where they go to gripe, I guess. That's the fun stuff to listen to, really. And you're reading it there. But I know there's some video blogs and things like that mm-hmm. that people do as well. But it is, it's entertaining to go online and read some of the forums, for hotshot truckers and see what they deal with every day. And that's actually not a bad idea if you want to get into this, because you'll see, real world examples of what might happen if you go out there. Now, I know these are extreme, and it takes something
sure.
extreme to make people write something bad online, typically. Not everybody writes every single situation with it. You know, if they have 90 out of 100 hauls are good,
uh-huh.
they're going to write about the other 10 that are the bad ones.
Oh,
they
yeah.
might mention that, you know, something went well today, but, that's just the way people are. And it's entertaining. It is fun. I've had some good laughs going through, the online forums with for the hotshot trucking stuff. And I encourage our listeners to do the same and look into some of the stuff that's possible, like in your area. Think about what's needed in your area. If you work in an area that is maybe, let's say it's very rural, and you've got people that need hay hauled from field to field, like from the hay fields.
Yeah.
To maybe there's a bit of an industry there for you, or not industry, but maybe there's a bit of a an opportunity there for you at certain times of the year to do that. And then once you think of that, like, well, that may keep me busy in the spring or whenever hay. When is hay harvested? I don't know. Fall.
Sure.
I don't know. But anyways, you may find that, and then you may find something else. You may find a need in your area that's very localized and something that you can do, and you know the people.
Oh, yeah.
Why not make a go of it?
It writes itself. Another example would be you're in a relatively rural area that is near a manufacturing hub that has to ship sensitive things. I mean, you can already tell which of the areas, at least of the U.S., are super competitive with this. Texas, for sure, as you said, with the oil industry. I could see a lot of competition in California as well. But look around. You never know what's going to happen. But we can tell you what's going to happen right now, which is that, Scott, you and I are going to head off down the road toward our next episode, unless we decide to do this hotshot trucker thing for ourselves.
Oh, maybe. But I don't even have a truck. I mean, it sounds intriguing. I would like to give something like this a try. But the thing is, you can't really just try it. You got to kind of jump in and do it.
Yeah, that's true. I read that some places will supply you with a truck, maybe. But we'll have to get back. We'll be back on the forums there, checking out our prospects. Say hi if you see us. In the meantime, we hope that you enjoyed this episode. We hope that if you are a hotshot trucker or have been one, you've got a story to share with us. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. We're CarStuffHSW at both of those. You can check out not just this podcast, but every single other podcast we've ever done on our website, carstuffshow.com. And if you want to write to us directly, if you don't really like messing around with Facebook, we get it.
Yeah, you want to tell us when hay is harvested? That'd be great.
Yeah, we're still working on that one, too. Then send us an email directly. We are
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.